This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, the author and perfecter of our faith. Amen. Well, as I mentioned earlier, today's sermon is the last in my sermon series on Hebrews chapter 11. In fact, today's sermon is actually based on the first 11 verses of Hebrews chapter 12, which points us back to Hebrews chapter 11. For example, Hebrews 12 verse 1 reads, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." This text says that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And who are these witnesses? You know, these witnesses are all the Old Testament believers in Christ listed in Hebrews chapter 11. The Old Testament believers that we've been hearing about for the last several weeks. We learned that these Old Testament witnesses for Christ were sinners, just like us. They faced fears, and they struggled with sins, just like us. But just like us, they also trusted God's word, and they put their faith in the Savior that He promised, who would save us sinners. Do you know what that means? When you read the Old Testament scriptures, or when you hear sermons based on the Old Testament scriptures, you're not hearing about some ancient historical information that is irrelevant to your lives today. No. Instead, the Old Testament is your history. You see, you are one family with those Old Testament believers who also trusted in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So their history is your history. Their scriptures are your scriptures. So as we hear and read and study the Old Testament, we are thereby surrounded by the witness of these ancient believers who fixed their eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Their witness inspires us to trust in God's word, just as they did. Their witness inspires us to live for Christ, just as they did. That's why the author of the book of Hebrews writes these words. Listen. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." In this text, we learn that we Christians need to do two things. First, we must throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Second, we must run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Now, what does that mean? Simply put, we Christians have a race of faith to run. This race of faith is a symbol of the Christian life. We're called to trust in God's word every day and to live to His glory every day as we look forward to our final destination, eternal life with God in the new creation. However, it is impossible for us to run this race of faith if we are hindered and entangled by sin. Imagine that you're running up a steep path, and your goal is to get to your final destination, which is the top of a mountain. But as you're running up that steep path, you're carrying two 100-pound bags of rock salt, one in each arm. And on top of that, this path that you're running up is covered about 4 feet high with thorn bushes and poisonous plants. Imagine trying to reach your destination carrying that burden. and walking through that tangled mess. Well, that's what it's like trying to live for Christ while we're burdened and entangled by sin. For example, try saying mean and spiteful and hateful things about another person while at the same time praying to God. You can't do it. You have to do one or the other. Or try refusing to forgive another person while thanking God for forgiving you your many sins. You can't do it. You have to do one or the other. Or try joyfully indulging in lustful thoughts while you kneel and receive Holy Communion. You can't do it. You have to do one or the other. Or if you're a young person here today, try disobeying and disrespecting your parents while obeying and respecting God. You can't do it. You have to do one or the other. Or try getting drunk and taking the Lord's name in vain while at the same time trying to witness to somebody about Jesus. You can't do it. You have to do one or the other. Now, I could give countless other examples of sins that we're guilty of thinking and doing and speaking, as well as the good things that we fail to think and do and speak. The point is that we cannot remain hindered and entangled by sin and run the race of faith at the same time. We must do one or the other. Now, as Christians who trust God's Word, we really do want to run the race of faith marked out for us. We really do. Therefore, we must get rid of the sin that hinders and entangles us. The question is, how do we do that? Well, we need to do two things. First, we must stop excusing and justifying our sins. Instead, we must acknowledge that our sin is evil and that we deserve nothing but God's wrath because of our rebellion. I'd like you to listen to these words of King David from Psalm 32. He says, "I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity." At the beginning of this service, we use a confession of sins that many of you remember using multiple times before. We spoke these words, "I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess to you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment." Now, those are wonderful words, but the danger is that the devil tempts us to say them without even thinking about what they mean. Sometimes we're guilty of just rattling off those words, and they don't even make an impact on our heart. These are very serious words, my friends. We dare not speak them carelessly. You see, if we simply go through the motions of confession without sincere repentance, if we leave this service fully intending to continue in the very sins that God condemns, then we place ourselves in grave spiritual danger. Therefore, God uses His Word to show us how serious our sin is. And do you know how serious your sin is? All you have to do is look to the cross. There we see what we deserve. There we see the judgment we ought to receive. As we said in the confession at the beginning of the service, we deserve God's temporal that means right now, and eternal, that means forever, punishment. Now that takes us to the second thing we must do if we want to be free of sin that hinders and entangles. First, we have to confess it, but second, we must fix our eyes on Jesus. You see, if you're broken and guilty because of your many sins, if you are tired of being hindered and entangled by your many sins, then rejoice, my friends, because God has removed the guilt that hinders you, and He has set you free from the sin that entangles you. In our reading from Hebrews, listen to what it says. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So what's the answer to the guilt that burdens us? What's the answer to the many sins that entangle our lives? The answer is Jesus. Jesus walked the path leading to that horrible cross, and as He walked that path, He had joy in His heart. Why? He had joy because He knew that His suffering and death would result in your salvation. Because of Jesus, your sins are forgiven. Because of Jesus, you can know that God loves you. Because of Jesus, you have the certain hope of eternal life, even in the face of death itself. Do you know what that means? You don't need the sins that burden you and entangle you. Have you ever wondered why we often get caught up in sin that does nothing but burden us and entangle us? We get caught up in sin because the devil actually convinces us it's good for us. We get caught up in sin because we foolishly think that sin will be a better blessing for us than submitting to God's plan for our life. I know that sounds foolish, but we do that all the time, don't we? But you see, what are we learning today? We're learning that we don't need the sin that burdens us. We don't need the sin that entangles us. Why? Because we have something better. We have Jesus. God's plan for your life is so much better than the lies of the devil and the false promises of this sinful world. We can run the race of faith as we fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter of our faith. Now, at this point in the sermon, I know what many of you are thinking, and if it helps you any, I'm thinking the same thing. Here's what you're thinking. Pastor, everything you're saying is true, but I know myself too well. Pastor, I'm going to leave this service with very, very good intentions. I'm going to do my best to throw off the sin that hinders and entangles. I really am. And I'm going to try very hard to keep my eyes fixed on Jesus. I really am. But after all is said and done, I know I'm still going to fall short. Because no matter how hard I try, I still seem to end up being hindered and entangled by sin. Well, my friends, I completely and totally relate to you. In fact, if left to ourselves and our own power, we would never, ever finish the race of faith. If left to ourselves, we would most certainly fall away from Christ. That's why we must remember that Jesus is the author and the perfecter of our faith. First, Jesus is the author of our faith. You know what that means? Your faith is a gift from Him. God created in you a new heart. That means you do not trust in Jesus by your own power. God is the one who gave you a heart that grieves over your sin. God is the one who gave you a heart that trusts in Jesus as your Savior. So if you are aware of your sins, and if you trust in Jesus as your Savior, then God has worked a miracle in your heart. Jesus is the author of your faith. But there's more. Jesus is also the perfecter of your faith. In the second part of today's reading, we learn that God will give us loving discipline as we run the race of faith. So when we begin to be hindered and entangled by our sin, and it happens to all of us all the time, God will give us loving discipline that will result in us repenting of our sins and fixing our eyes on Jesus. We need to remember that, friends, because when God disciplines us, you know what the devil wants us to think? When God disciplines us, the devil wants us to think that God hates us. But the opposite is true. Remember these words from today's reading. Do not make light of the Lord's discipline. And do not lose heart when He rebukes you. Because the Lord disciplines those He loves, and He punishes everyone He accepts as a son. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Did you hear that? The same God who gave you faith in Christ is going to keep your eyes fixed on Christ. And He will do that through His loving discipline. In other words, God is going to help you to mature in your faith. That reminds me of what the Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 1. Listen to these words. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. In other words, it's not up to you to run the race of faith by our own power. As we fix our eyes on Jesus, He's actually carrying us the entire way. God will do whatever it takes to keep us humble and repentant, with the result that we will fix our eyes on Jesus, through whom we have complete forgiveness, the comfort of God's love, and the certain hope of eternal life. You see, my friends, we will never be free from sin this side of heaven. So the answer to our problem is not that we can somehow completely get rid of sin as though we can live sinless lives. The answer to our sin problem is Jesus. Living in daily repentance and faith. Trusting in Him every step of the way. And God will do whatever it takes to keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. In fact, you're here today because God wanted you here. God wanted you here because He wanted you to be fed by His gifts. He wanted you to hear His word. For the same reason, God also wants you to attend Bible class, to have daily devotions and prayer. Because through these gifts, He keeps your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. Those Old Testament cloud of witnesses are examples for us because they trusted God's word. They were sinners like us, but they were able to run the race of faith because they kept their eyes fixed on Jesus. Just as Christ was faithful to them, Christ will be faithful to you as you strive to run the race of faith that God has marked out for you. So my friends, when life gets really hard, when you feel hindered and entangled by sin, don't despair. Instead, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. He will never leave you or forsake you, and not even death can separate you from His love. In closing, I would like to mention that today is October 31st. And this is a very important day. I'm not talking about Halloween either. You see, October 31st is the day when many Lutherans celebrate the Reformation. A time in history when God used a man by the name of Martin Luther to fix our eyes on Jesus. My friends, Luther was a sinner just like you and me. But God used Luther to do many wonderful things for Christ. Luther found comfort and strength for his race of faith from the good news that his sins were forgiven because of Christ. Luther and his family trusted in God's word, and just like the Old Testament believers, they did their best to be faithful to Christ in word and in deed. And in the same way, we are called to be faithful witnesses for Christ in our generation as we continue the ongoing reformation of Christ's church by speaking His truth in love. However, you do need to know that there were times when Luther and his family suffered greatly because they were faithful to Christ. They had to face many trials and hardships, even death threats, as they ran the race God marked out for them. But in the midst of it all, they knew they were secure in Jesus and that they would live forever in God's kingdom. And we have the same hope as we strive to be faithful for Jesus in our generation. So when you are facing trials and temptations in this life, when sin hinders and entangles you, or when you are persecuted because you are trying to run the race God has marked out for you, then you need to remember these words of Martin Luther from the end of the fourth stanza of A Mighty Fortress. Listen to these words again. Were they to take our house, goods, honor, child, or spouse, though life be wrenched away, they cannot win the day. The kingdom's ours forever. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, in our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.